Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and this is Financial Survival. What a way to start the program. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the questions we'll be discussing today, it's Friday. That's why I started the program out like that. It's Friday, TGIF, everyone, March 22nd. 2013, 2 days into spring, and you'd think we were 2 days into winter here in central Pennsylvania. Another bloody snowy day here in central Pennsylvania, but we're tough here. We'll manage. And but some of the things we're going to be talking about today, we're going to be talking about Cyprus government. Should they abandon the bank deposit tax idea, or, you know, have they set their heels? And we're going to see what can happen about that. And again, we're going to be talking about money and in banks. We're going to be talking about electronically traded gold is going down and what is happening to physical gold. And we're going to be talking the first segment of the program, just some interesting articles. We live in interesting times, and we're going to be talking about some of those interesting times. So make sure you stay tuned. But first, we're going to go ahead into the market reports today. Just a brief recap, but mainly in gold. We have gold down $7 at $16.08. We have silver down 0.44 at $28.84. Platinum was up $3 at $15.88, and palladium was up $4 at $7.64. USDX today was down 0.41 at $82.40. Just an interesting observation. Had that down along with gold. Just interesting. And you have the crude oil. That was up $1.30. Must be some war drums banging around somewhere. You have oil up $1.30 at $93.75. That's usually when you see oil move that big. Drums are beating loud somewhere. The Dow? Nobody really gives a darn. There's no concerns about Cyprus. I heard the commentary on CNBC. The markets, you know, they don't care about Cyprus. Well, when you have rigged markets, yeah, they're not going to care about any thing that happens good or bad. It's just going to continually stay the same or go up 90 points like the Dow did today at 14,512. NASDAQ up 22 at 3245. S&P up 11, 1556. Doesn't look like the markets are concerned about Cyprus or what might happen in the Eurozone. The euro is 129, and the 10-year dropped just a little bit, 0.02, at 191% on the 10-year yield. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs, folks. Give us a call here at Discount Gold and Silver. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. That's dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. American Survival comes out Mondays weekly. Doesn't cost you anything. And if you want to capture any of these older programs, the archives of the program, you can go to our website on the radio page and do that also. We want to encourage your participation into the programs. You can email us at questions@dgscoins.com. questions@dgscoins.com. And we do have another 800 number that we will give you. We want to make sure you don't get it mixed up with the business line, but the call-in line, 1-800-596-8191. That's 800-596-8191 if you'd like to give us a call and give us questions or opinions on the topics that we are discussing. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody. Another interesting day. You're getting snow up in Pennsylvania. We're getting a little snow here in Oregon.
Nah.
On the east coast, or on the east side of Oregon. This is cowboy country out here.
Cowboy in Oregon?
Absolutely. Mm. We got a bunch of, down the valley where I'm living, we have, in fact, they had something like 24 dairies. Until the government came in and started imposing regulations, and they basically destroyed all of the dairies. There may be one or two left, but most of them are gone. They've been put out of business by government regulation. As a result, they've had a significant impact on the economic base of this valley. What can I say? Thank you, government. You know, they're putting this valley out of business is what's happened. But the farmers who were running dairy, those who are still in the business, they're raising cattle. And so cowboy country, you understand? When I get done with this, I'm going to go put my boots on, get out there and brand a couple of steers or something.
Woohoo!
Uh-huh.
Actually, I keep forgetting, and this has nothing to do, but I actually had an uncle who used to take care of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans' horses. That is a fact. Not too many people probably remember Dale Evans. And what was the horse, Trigger?
Trigger.
Trigger took care of Trigger.
They used to make jokes. They when Trigger died, they had him stuffed and mounted for the Roy Rogers Museum. I don't know if your uncle still took care of him after he was there
no.
at the museum. Or no, he didn't
no.
have anything to do with that. And they used to joke when what was her name? Dale Evans.
Dale Evans.
When she died, Roy was apparently thinking about having her stuffed and mounted for the museum also, but they declined to do that. So I guess Trigger was the only one, and I was, you know.
Nope, he used to drive him around the country for him.
He's a horse chauffeur. Yeah, I understand. Some people walk dogs, and some people drive horses. What
yep,
can I tell you?
What can I say?
So what do we got?
Oh, well, the first segment, we're going to be, we have about a judge denies murderer's guilty plea.
Yep. Let's start with that one. This is for interesting times. Judge denies Fort Hood shooting suspect's attempt to plead guilty. The Fort Hood soldier charged with 13 counts of premeditated murder in the 2009 military post rampage cannot plead guilty, a judge ruled on Wednesday. Now, it's just interesting. The guy's there killed 13 people. He wants to plead guilty, and the judge won't let him. Huh? This is, for me, this is evidence of interesting times. In fact, it's not all that bizarre. It's interesting, but it's not all that bizarre because under military code, a man who is responsible, who is facing capital punishment, being executed for having killed 1, 2, or 13 other people. He can't plead guilty under military code. So we're going to absolutely have to have a trial for this guy, even though he'd like to plead guilty. It's, you look at it and you wonder, what the heck kind of country are we living in? Man killed 13 people, wants to plead guilty, and the law prevents him from doing so. What else, Melody?
Does that mean he doesn't get to plead, they don't execute him?
No, it means they'll execute him, all right, but first, we're going to have a trial. See? Oh, I guarantee if you could take a key man insurance policy out on this guy, this is a 100% winner. All right, just talk to your local insurance agent. Say, this guy, he's a key man. Take out an insurance policy for $100,000, and I expect him to be executed, who knows, 2 years at the most, and it might be within a year. I'm not sure. But first, we have to go through the motions, and we're going to need a trial. And I don't object to that. It's just one of these things that's a little odd, interesting, whatever. It's just, you know. So.
Well, I often wonder why they have trials for so many of these people. And speaking of trials, Guantanamo prison down there, I mean, they're actually going to do some remodeling. They're going to fix up the dining room. They're going to do some other things. The prisoners down there are going on hunger strikes. And it's like, who cares? Who cares if these guys want to go on? If you're in prison and you want to go on hunger strike, you know, that's your right. Why should they spend all this money and give them a little bit nicer conditions? They'll just bring them into the States, close that down. That'd probably save how many millions of dollars a year? Is that prison really necessary down there?
Well, they seem to think so. I don't know. I'm not in favor of just treating prisoners as you know, callously as is possible. In any case, why are they doing this? Because if the prisoners die from the hunger strike, it's bad PR.
That's it.
So they have to weigh. So we live in a world where the government weighs whether or not we should redecorate the kitchen. And the dining hall, let's see, how much does that cost?
A couple million.
Tell me, get one of the bean counters in here. Tell me how much it costs to redecorate the dining hall, and we weigh that against how much will it cost us in bad PR if some of these people die from not eating. And they weigh the cost. That's all.
If a person
it's
wants
not to... right or wrong, it's profit and loss.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. If somebody wants to not eat, I don't think they should be forced to eat, and blah, blah, blah. If they're making a point, that's their choice. And I think they all should be in Arizona with Sheriff Arpaio and wear pink underwear and live in tents, as far as I'm concerned. If you get there, why should you live so... And I don't understand. They have TVs. They've got gyms.
Yeah,
they've got,
I get that.
I mean,
the situation with Guantanamo,
computers.
You can't just arrest
they actually,
people.
They
it's
actually
such a terrible
use,
precedent.
They actually use prisoners in order to... A lot of these credit card companies in order to process credit cards.
I follow, but they're not doing that in Guantanamo. They're holding people indefinitely. I don't have an objection with arresting people. I don't have an objection with holding and the rest of it, but they've got to get to a trial. You can't just say, and what they're doing is holding these people indefinitely, and the reason is because they don't think they can be found guilty. They don't dare admit, they can't turn them loose without admitting that they have been kidnapped and held without reason for God knows how many years now, and they can't admit that they were wrong, and on the other hand, if they take them to court, it's going to come out that they were wrong. So we're caught between the rock and the hard place, and they've decided, we'll just hold them down here and try to avoid any more bad publicity. You can't just arrest people. And haul them in if you don't, and hold them indefinitely. You can't do that. It is, and if you're going to allow it with the Muslims down in Guantanamo, I guarantee the day is coming when you're going to allow it with your nieces and nephews in this country, and you know, you and me and everybody else.
Yep.
It can't be allowed to stand as a precedent, and yet there it is.
Yesterday, a House committee approved legislation that would require the firing of federal employees who are seriously tax delinquent.
Uh-huh.
How can you be a federal employee and be tax delinquent?
Well, you just don't file, you don't pay your income taxes. That's all it means. And in fact, in the article you're reading from, the Utah Representative Jason Chaffetz, Republican, introduced Federal Employee Tax Accountability Act of 2013, which would require federal employees to fire any workers who have outstanding federal tax debt where a notice of lien has been publicly filed. All right? A problem they got is the IRS doesn't have enough resources to chase after everybody who hasn't filed or paid their income tax. So they've got to find another way to deal with this, and what they're passing, attempting to pass a law that would, if you haven't paid your income tax, we'll just fire you. That's all. You either pay your income tax or you lose your job, at least if you're working for the federal government. Before it's done, we'll see how far they can extend that. You and I don't pay your taxes, we're going to can't have your job anymore. It's a way of indirectly enforcing the tax laws. But what's interesting to me is Representative Chaffetz citing figures indicating more than 100,000 federal employees owe more than $1 billion in federal taxes. Mr. Chaffetz argued that it's time for them to do their fair share. Well, 100,000 employees that owe $1 billion, that sounds like a lot, but when you divide the $1 billion by 100,000, it translates into about $1,000 in back taxes on average per delinquent employee, which does not impress me. It's not enough. They can't afford to sue these people. They can't afford to take them to court. It'll cost them $15,000-$20,000 to take them to court. You can't run a government on the basis of spending $15,000-$20,000 to collect $1,000. It's a business. You can't run a business by spending that much money to collect that little money, if you catch my drift. But there is a second article. This one's at Huffington Post. Federal employees owed $3.5 billion in back taxes in 2011, and that's according to the IRS. And the only reason I mention that, here we have Representative Chaffetz. He says it's 100,000 federal employees owe more than $1 billion in federal taxes. And Huffington Post says, no, it's not. They come up, and what's their number down here? Now, they're guessing 312,000 federal workers owed more than $3.5 billion in back taxes, and that's as of 2011. So by now, we can assume the numbers are even higher. 9.8 million government workers, if I understand correctly. So we've got, by now, who knows, 400,000 or 500,000. Translates into what? About 5%, 4 or 5% mm-hmm. of the government is government employees are delinquent on their taxes. Another one of these things for interesting times. Pay your fair share. The government doesn't, but you should. What else? Anything else, Melody?
Well, our senators are just becoming more and more bizarre. You have Senator Elizabeth Warren. She said yesterday the government not only has a right to regulate the American people, but regulation is really the key to the country's success.
I understand.
Like, I mean, what?
Yeah. This is just too much. This is out of what? Washington Post? Washington Times. Government not only has the right to regulate the people, but regulation is really the key to the country's success. Thank God I started the program out talking about how government regulation shut down 24 dairies here in the valley where I'm living, and as a result, cut what may be the principal pillar supporting this local economy. Just reduced it, knocked it out. Now, I don't know if maybe Senator Warren hasn't heard about this, but it's not an unusual thing. How can she be so foolish? What the country needs is more regulation. That's the implication. That's the key to prosperity, according to Senator Warren. More regulations you have, the richer this country becomes. The truth is, who is enriched by government regulation? And the answer is the regulators, the government. The more regulations they have, the more taxes they can collect, more fines and fees and whatever else. The government might be enriched by regulation, but the people aren't. We are impoverished by regulation, and here's a senator who doesn't understand that. Here she says, it's thanks to federal agency that no one worries about those white pills or baking soda instead of antibiotics. I agree, there's a point to this. I guess there's also a point to taking a break for some commercial announcements. And that's what we're going to do. I'm Alfred Addisk. I can hear Frank playing the piano in the background. Frank, you may not know this, but Frank has a grand piano right there in the studio, and he plays. That's Frank right there playing on the piano. We will be back in just a moment. I'm Alfred Addisk with Melody Cederstrom. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody is apparently running the same or much the same special as she had yesterday and the day before. Tell them about it, please.
Yes, gold is still trading a little bit higher than when we first started this special. 1/10 ounce. It's a $5 modern issue gold eagle. You receive 5 of those, so that's about a total of a half ounce. And you'll also receive $40 face value of 90% silver. We do have quarters and dimes, so you could either get all quarters, all dimes, or a mixture of the two. Maybe even some 50-cent pieces. We'll mix it up for you. And the whole package is $1,850, and that includes all your shipping costs. So you can give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. It's a great little package. It's a great little bartering-type package. It's a great way to start. If you haven't started purchasing your gold and silver as yet, this is a great way to begin. So you can buy one of these packages, two of these packages, or 100 of these packages. We have all the products, so give us a call, 800-375-4188.
All right, Melody, what's next?
Let's get to Cyprus.
All right, let's go to Cyprus. That's becoming kind of a curse. Instead of saying go to Helk, people say go to Cyprus. Any case, there's an article from the New York Times, and this is very interesting to me. Because up until now, it appeared first the government of Cyprus was going to impose a significant tax on bank deposits. Anyone who had less than 100,000 euros, which is about $129,000, if they had less than 100,000 euros in their bank account, they would pay a tax of 6.75%. If they had more than 100,000 euros in their bank account, they would pay a tax of 9.9%. Well, there was, of course, they proposed this last weekend. They declared a bank holiday, and there was an immediate uproar. And some people were saying, oh my gosh, the world is coming to an end. And I don't just mean Cypriots. I mean people from Russia, people from the United States, pundits and whatever. Oh my gosh, the sky is truly falling. Others sat back and said, it's not that big a deal. It's no big deal. And the article today indicates maybe it is a big deal. It looked like this was the government of Cyprus was prevented by the uproar. They were prevented from enacting the proposed tax. It was going to be enacted, I believe, Monday of this week, and they said, no, we'll vote on it tomorrow, and it's been postponed and one thing, and it's even denied. They say, no, we're not going to do that. But they still have to do something. And the article from the New York Times indicates that the European Union and the European Central Bank and the International Monetary Fund have set their heels. And they've said, we're going to have that $5.8 billion from you Cypriots. You're going to cough it up, or we are going to shut this thing down. Come, I think, Tuesday of next week, is either Monday or Tuesday next week, they will allegedly stop giving money at low interest rates to Cyprus, which is needed to keep the Cypriot economy afloat. So the article is fascinating, and one of the things that's particularly interesting to me, well, here, let's read a section of experts warn that the deposit tax plan might need to be revisited unless the government found other means to reach the 5.8 billion euros, or roughly $7.5 billion, needed to satisfy international negotiators. Now, what this means is that the government has to have 5.8 billion euros, and the only way it can get it is to take it from someone else that has it. Somebody's got to be robbed. If they want the money, $10 billion, to continue to flow in from the European Union, they have to rob somebody of $5.8 billion in euros from in Cyprus. Who's going to get robbed? If they can't take the bank depositors, and those are the ones that have $5.8 billion, it's there. We can rob the people. There's enough money in the banks where they are the logical candidates to be robbed. Unfortunately, the bank depositors aren't willing to be robbed. They would rather riot than be robbed. And that means the government thief must either find some other wealthy entity to rob. Pensions, for example, pensions have been suggested, or they will simply have to rob the bank depositors at gunpoint. They'd hoped that they'd get away with this robbery. They just say this is a tax. It's not a confiscation, it's not a robbery, it's just a tax, see? So everyone should just submit in a very civil manner, and the people didn't submit. And now the government has a choice. We've got to rob, find somebody else who consents to be robbed, or they're going to have to go back after the depositors and essentially put a gun to their head and say, we're taking your money whether you like it or not. And what evidence do we see of that? We see that they have extended the bank holiday, which was supposed to end Tuesday of this week, and then Thursday of this week, and now it's to Tuesday of next week. What does the bank holiday mean? Well, it means people can't get into the banks to pull their funds out. That's what it means. They have access to ATM machines. They can withdraw, and if their ATM program is anything like it is here in the United States, they can pull out a few hundred euros a day. Right? It's enough to get by on. You'll be able to, you know, you can have a big day, you can go spend 400 euros or whatever, but you can feed yourself, you can feed the family. That's all right for the individual people. But the majority of the money remains in the bank accounts during the bank holiday, which means they are keeping the money at a location where they know it is convenient for government to confiscate it. You know, if you put all your money and you put it under your pillow, you and me and Melody and everybody else takes our money and puts it under our bed. Very hard, costly for government to come out and confiscate that money. They don't know where it's buried. They don't know where it's hidden. It costs a lot of money to put police and soldiers on the ground and go door to door and try to round up the money. But if all your money is in an electronic bank account, well, it's easy to take it then. And that's what they're doing with the bank holiday. They are preventing people from removing their money from a bank account where it is maximally convenient for government to go in and confiscate it. So in any case, they're extending their bank holiday so they can be robbed. What else have we got down here? The central bank, however, has warned that if the Cypriot Parliament failed to pass the measure, the Lackey Bank will default immediately, causing major consequences. All right. Lawmakers also voted on restrictions on taking cash out of bank and out of the country, known as capital controls, when the banks reopen. They are going, even though the banks will reopen, maybe Tuesday of next week, maybe later, we don't know. But when they do reopen, there will still be restrictions on how much cash you can take out of the bank and how much you can take out of the country. And part of the reason for discussing this is because it reveals how vulnerable the people are in any nation if their government and or banking system is going broke and they're storing their wealth in bank accounts. They're going to impose currency controls over there in Cyprus. And some people can say, oh my gosh, that's just terrible. Currency controls, oh, the brutes. Listen, we already have currency controls in this country. Huh? We have currency controls that at least inhibit and perhaps prevent your ability to just say, I'm out of here. I've had enough of this. I'm leaving. I'm going to Uruguay or Argentina or wherever. Go ahead and see if you can get out of this country and take all your cash with you. It won't be that easy. I won't say it can't be done, but we already have the beginning of currency controls in this country, and I'm going to suggest that those currency controls are there for the very same reason that they're having currency controls and a bank holiday over there in Cyprus. They want you to leave your money at a location where, push comes to shove, the government can easily confiscate it. Where is that location? Your friendly local bank, where your accounts are insured by the FDIC against, mismanagement of the banks. But your accounts are not insured against seizure by the federal government. Now, you can sit back and say, oh, yeah, this is just, you know, a certain amount of hyperbole. We're just exaggerating things. Well, yeah, they're doing this and they're doing these things over in Cyprus, but they could never happen here. But in a sense, they already have. Back in 1933, what did the government do? Took all the gold coins out of circulation. Right? We didn't have them in the banks per se, but they extracted them with the aid of the banks out of circulation. The government has done something that is similar to what we've seen in Cyprus. They've already done it once. Some people listening to this program right now are elderly, senior citizens, but they are old enough to perhaps remember when that happened back in 1933. What would that be? Something like 80 years ago? It'd be people pushing 90 to remember. There might be a few. There wouldn't be many that remember, but there are some who might. But in any case, it's in the history books. And the lesson in all of this, the lesson in the Cyprus situation, one lesson, is that if you have currency stored in a bank, it might be safe from your local burglar, but it may not be safe from the biggest burglar in all the world, and that would be the government of the United States. They're watching your account. Day may come when government says, we got to have it, Bubba, so we're taking it. We got to get it from somebody who's got it. Who's got it? People with bank deposits. It's a lesson relative to, you know, it's one of the considerations. You need to think about this when you decide how much money you are going to keep in your bank account. Are we facing a bank run this week, next month, this year? What? I don't think so. I don't see that happening. I don't know that we ever will, but you need to factor this in. There is a certain amount of risk involved. You should factor that in on your calculations. If the government can impose capital controls in Cyprus, they can do the same in the United States. And it's something you may want to consider when you start thinking about how you are going to store your wealth. And one other thing, the most important thing perhaps out of this article, is that the European Central Bank and the International Monetary Fund have set their heels and they have told the Cypriots, essentially, you are disposable. We don't care about you. We have to have the money. Give us the $5.8 billion or we will shut down your economy for all practical purposes. They haven't said that, but that's the implication. It indicates that the European Union, the European Central Bank, the International Monetary Fund is getting hyper, perhaps desperate. Perhaps they can't afford another lousy $5.8 billion to let that pass at this moment. And for whatever reason, they're determined to play hardball. They're not going to give the Cypriots a break. I thought they would earlier in the week. I thought this thing would just kind of blow over. But it appears this is going to happen. So it turns out this really is an important event. And where it goes from here, I don't know. What will happen next week? We'll watch and see. In fact, there may even be a vote today that's taken place as to whether they're going to rob pensioners or they're going to rob bank depositors or whoever we're going to rob. We need to pass a law on who's going to get robbed, Melody. And it'll be a law, so it'll be legal robbery. It won't be robbery. It'll be taxation or something to do with restoring stability or something. It won't be robbery. It won't be confiscation. But in fact, a rose by any other name, you know, confiscation by any other name, theft by any other name, it still stinks. What do you think, Melody?
Well, we do have a caller, but we're just about ready to go to a break. And an interesting website, and you know, perhaps we can get to him after the break if he doesn't mind holding, unless you think we have time, Al.
No, we what have we got left right now?
Just
we
a
have
minute.
We have a minute left. Cyprus, just finish up if you've got a comment on that.
The Guardian website is doing, it is a great job. They have almost a timeline of all the meetings and their votes and so forth. And it's posted almost every 10 minutes, every 15 minutes. So if anyone is following it, it's a great place to follow. You can find a little bit more of what they're voting on the nine, I believe there's like nine regulations they're trying to vote on for this evening. And it'll go in tomorrow. But they are expecting some sort of a meeting in Brussels on Sunday. So, but I also read commentaries by the from this Christopher. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his last name.
Is he Greek?
Pissari.
He's Greek.
Yeah,
he's Greek. Christopher the Greek.
He's a Nobel economics laureate, and he's been advising the Cypriot government, and he said he's confident of a compromise tonight or tomorrow morning, but he's also said it's not going to be a good one, and what has to be done will be done. And to me, that means, yes, they will be taxing those accounts.
They'll be robbing those accounts. They're going to be robbing somebody. Somebody's going to get robbed. All right, and it isn't going to be Robin Hood where he robs the rich and gives it to the poor. He's going to rob the some of the rich, and he's going to give it to people who are even richer. I'm Alfred Addisk. We're here at Financial Survival. Melody Cedarstrom and myself will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And the Cyprus story is another one of those leaves in the breeze that suggests that maybe you do need some gold. All right? This is not unreasonable. Melody just told me during the break she'd seen something on a website called Before It's News of a report from a banker that says they have been told that they are going to restrict bank hours and how much you can withdraw. Melody, go ahead and explain what you were telling me.
Well, I just got this email in from one of our listeners and really didn't have a chance to do much checking on it. But that was the content of the information, that you could actually begin seeing shortened hours, shortened days, shortened withdrawals. A lot of that we already have, though, Al. We already
have. I know that.
Shortened. You can only pull out. You need to give notice. You need to. There are restrictions already in place. Exactly. With the banks here in this country. So it's kind of not new news, but again, it's being reminded. It's a reminder that, folks, you know, this stuff isn't going to go away. We're not going to wake up to a brand new happy day. And we will have a day of reckoning. That is coming. And it is up to you to do what you need to do. And for those, and then we'll get to the caller. And don't forget, we talk about Cyprus. We talk about offshore banking, tax havens. And for all of you out there who have called me, and there's a ton of you who inquired, wanted my opinion on what I thought about storing your gold and your money offshore, this is my answer. Governments aren't any different anywhere around the world. They are all the same. So if you think that by storing your money and your gold offshore is a better thing to do, unless you have multiple millions of dollars that you can afford to lose a little, it is not worth you going there, because there isn't any place that is better than in your own backyard. We've got...
Hang on just a second. Before we take the caller, I want to add one more thing on this. You made the point earlier in the week that what had happened in Cyprus was to some degree incomprehensible because it's only a lousy $10 billion that's at stake here. Our Federal Reserve kicks out an extra $85 billion every single month right now for QE, for quantitative easing, and they are spending an extra, again, $85 billion a month, and no one can cough up $10 billion to avoid this problem in Cyprus. It's almost incomprehensible that somebody just says, here, take the $10 billion and shut up. Somebody ought to do that. No one is. It indicates that there are very serious problems in the background that we don't see just yet. We don't see clearly. But by implication, it implies that certainly the European monetary system is in some significant trouble. And there's great controversy within that system on whether to go left or right. And we can wonder whether that same kind of controversy is building in this country. Is that part of the reason why we hear a report that within 60 days banks will tighten on their restrictions on your access to cash? What does that mean? It means maybe you got 60 days to be smart. We can take our caller now if you want, Melody.
We have Joe from Arkansas. Do you have a question or a comment, Joe?
I had a comment on the Cyprus situation. And that is this. I'm just surprised that the government of Cyprus hasn't thought of doing the obvious thing that seems like governments all over the world traditionally do when they need money, and that's come to the United States Congress and get it from the American taxpayers. Like, I remember when Clinton was president, the government of Mexico had bills that it couldn't pay. It had debts that it couldn't pay. So they came to the United States Congress and got the Congress and the president to approve a bailout, to pay their debts with American taxpayers' money. And, of course, during the banker bailouts a few years ago, we heard that a lot of hundreds of billions of dollars, I think it was, of American taxpayers' money was sent to foreign banks, to help them with their problems. And, of course, the Congress routinely gives billions of dollars of American taxpayers' money to prop up the government of Israel and other foreign governments. So it seems like Cyprus, if they were smart, they'd do the obvious thing, is come to the United States Congress and get American taxpayers' money to pay their bills for them.
Well, for whatever reason, either they're not smart or that option has been precluded. Oh. If $10 billion isn't much, it's a triviality in the context of world financial circumstances of
yep.
situation.
But you have to understand that they're part of the Eurozone, and the Eurozone is already partners with the U.S. So, I mean, I wouldn't see why Cyprus, they probably can't go outside of their Eurozone. They tried to do negotiations with Russia. They tried to make some sort of deal. Russia tried to help them out. They even tried to renegotiate the loans that they already have to Russia by lowering the rates or even lowering the principal a little bit. None of that's gone through. So, again, it does seem to me that this is something they want to happen, or there's it's a lot more political. There's a lot more going on, and we can make all kinds of speculations. It's the Russians. It's, It could be a lot of things, but it's far deeper. You know, we talk about the banks, their bigger bank is about to fail. We really don't know much about that bank, what it's been involved in. Has it been a clearinghouse for a lot of these derivatives? I mean, as far as I know, Cyprus has not been in the Eurozone for, since the beginning. It came in somewhere in the mid-2000s, and it has a recently elected president. So he's only in there, I believe, a month. So all these things come into play, and I think it is far bigger, far deeper, and the markets around the world are just ignoring this event. And
we'll see if they can
continue. That in itself is pause for concern.
Well, what else? Joe, did you have anything else you wanted to add? Nope. Joe's no longer here. All right.
We got some questions.
You know, there's another point. You can think in terms of, does someone want that bank destroyed? Not just out of competition. There are conspiracy theories that involve the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City. It was storing records that were moved there allegedly just a couple of weeks before the bombing. It was storing records that dealt with Waco, if I recall correctly, the Branch Davidian situation. They were allegedly, those were all gone. Those were disappeared. There are allegations and conspiracy theories, and when the World Trade Center went down, there were records stored there, and it was very fortunate for some people that these records disappeared. I wonder, does someone want the bank to be made to disappear? Just a conspiracy theory. I don't have any basis to support that idea, but this is strange. It's only $10 billion. The world is watching. The markets may not be overly impressed by this, but the world is watching. It's taking confidence away from the entire banking system globally, is being adversely affected, and yet no one is willing to cough up a lousy $10 billion. That's 3 days. That's about 3 days of quantitative easing in this country. Somebody ought to be willing to do this. There's something happening here that is significant, and it will. We'll watch and see what comes from this, but I don't think they'll get away.
I mean,
Go ahead.
They couldn't go the same way as Iceland.
Well, I don't know if they could or they couldn't. It may be that they're going to kind of have to, but something is happening here that is irrational. It seems irrational. There's absolutely cause, because people are setting their heels and they're saying, we want that $5.8 billion and you're going to give it to us. And they are behaving just as if a mugging was taking place in a back alley. They've essentially got a gun to the head of Cyprus government and Cyprus banks and saying, you're going to cough up $5 billion or we're going to blow your brains out. It's pretty much the same thing. It's extortion. Under the color of law, it's taking money under the color of law, but it's extortion. That's what we're dealing with right now. Very strange.
We got some questions. How deep is Russia involved in the Cyprus debacle?
No one really knows, but there are stories that because of the threats to seize a lot of Russian money that is deposited in Cyprus banks, there is at least one conspiracy theory that Putin has responded by ultimately causing the police to go after Christine Lagarde, who's the head of the IMF, based on some alleged offense she committed 20 years ago. Police have gone over and apparently, according to some reports, raided her apartment. Huh? The whole thing becomes bizarre. How can the president of Russia have enough influence in France to make the French police go after the Christine Lagarde, head of the International Monetary Fund? Some people think that's happened. The extent is unknown. It's got to be significant. Everyone agrees that the Russians have a lot of money in the Cypriot banks. Some people say it's $23 billion, but they say it's $23 billion or more. I think this is a lot more. Whatever's going on, if the Russians are in this, it's not a concern over $23 billion. I don't doubt that they would be concerned, but I think the events we see indicate that there's much more money than 23 billion Russian. I said dollars, I meant euros. Hard to say, but Yvonne, you may know better than I do. You have background from that part of the world. And Yvonne, your idea on it may be better than mine, but for the moment, no one knows for sure, with the exception of President Putin and whoever is close to him.
There's also a question about, we're going to be changing the subject a little bit, but we might come back to it. According to the Weekly Standard, Vice President Joe Biden's London stay in February was not the most expensive part of his trip. A government document released on February 14th shows that the contract for the Hotel Intercontinental Paris Le Grand came in at $585,000. Is this how these people spend our tax money? What say you? My question is, it's interesting. Timing is everything. He's floating around London and France right before the Cyprus debacle. So, you know, how much is this was already planned back in February? And since he had gone to France, do you think it had anything to do with Lagarde and her problems? I don't think it was reported. I don't remember hearing anything about his trip to London and to France. I mean, it wasn't...
They couldn't afford the extra PR. That costs
extra.
That's
true, yeah. No, they'd rather
if
spend
you're, once
it
you're in
room.
For 500... Did you tell me 585?
1,000.
All right. Okay. Well,
inflation.
Yeah, I know. See that? And he could cut that probably if he would not fly first class. We could cut that back a little bit if we could talk the vice president to flying tourist. But...
Well,
it's insane. It's absurd. It's bizarre. It's ridiculous. $585,000 for a vacation. I would feel blessed if I had $585,000 for a year. You understand? Biden's spending it on a vacation. I don't know. It's one of those things that indicates that our government views itself as an aristocracy. They're not the public servants. They are the public rulers. They deem themselves to be the sovereigns, and they will spend as much as they want on their grand high adventures and trips into Europe and Hawaii or wherever it is they go. And nobody even cares. Does anyone care? Will anything really come of this? Will anyone sit back and tell Mr. Biden, please don't do that again? Will a law be passed? Will anything be done? No, it won't. Because the people responsible for passing these laws are the same people that are taking similar trips. And they regard themselves as the aristocracy rather than public servants, and they feel entitled. And all of that, insofar as it's true, there's a certain amount of exaggeration to what I've just said, but not as much as some people might suppose. Insofar as government thinks of itself as the aristocracy, the ruling class, rather than public servants, it is evidence that we are headed for a problem in this country, and one of the ways you can minimize the effects of that problem is get ready, get prepared. Food, water, guns, ammunition, gold, and silver. Got it? Better get it, because the leaves are blowing in the breeze. You can see which way the wind is blowing if you care to look. It's time to get prepared. Got 20 seconds, Melody.
You know, just a quick Biden after the sequester, he couldn't fly from Washington to his home in Virginia. He had to take the train. The train ride takes 17 minutes. And I got to thinking, if it took 17 minutes to get from Washington to his home in Virginia in 17 minutes, what was the point of flying to begin with?
I understand.
It's just like, yeah. You got to be, you know.
It's a question, though. You ride the train, you have to ride with all the great unwashed. That's the problem.
Yeah,
you fly, you're with a better class of people.
Yeah.
We are catering, and this program caters to a good class of people, those who are concerned about gold and silver and the liberty and freedom in this country. We'll be back to talk more about these subjects on Monday. I'm Alfred Adusk with Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.